It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Michael Hill. Some culinary tastemakers have proclaimed Filipino food the next big thing. Here in New York City, the cuisine has made huge strides, but also seen setbacks for people longing for something to call their own in America. WNYC's Michelle Bocanegra reports.
In many ways, Rene Dizon is the OG Tita of Woodside, Queens.
This is the jeepney. Jeep.
She's showing off some miniature wheeled objects from the Philippines, pulling each item out of a bag her husband brought. She plans to put them on display in a glass-paneled cabinet at her restaurant.
This is calesa, we call it calesa, with the horse.
Dizon is petite, no taller than 5'4", wearing glasses and a cardigan on a warm and damp November day. Her restaurant in a small Filipino enclave in Queens, where the 7 train runs over a block and a half lined with restaurants, corner stores, and street vendors selling kare-kare, dinuguan, halo-halo, and ube delicacies, has outlasted more prominent success stories for Filipino food in New York City. Renee's Kitchenette and Grill is the last Filipino restaurant standing among two others she remembers operating in Woodside when she first opened in 1992. Other restaurants have popped up, but hers has had the same cooks for decades.
That's probably one reason why we're here. The food didn't change at all.
Many of the customers have been consistent as well, mostly Filipinos spanning several generations, though some newcomers have been filtering in. In a sea of uncertainty, Renee's Kitchenette is a constant. Traditional Filipino favorites in Queens have closed. Restaurants that got media buzz, like Nicole Panseca's Jeepney and Maharlika, went dark in the East Village after less than 10 years. Filipino food has become more visible in the five boroughs over the last several years, with new restaurants, thriving pop-ups, and ube-stuffed cronuts at Dominique Ancel. But those rooting for the cuisine's long-term success say the reality is more complicated. Jude Canella is a nurse who co-owns Bilao, a small restaurant on the Upper East Side serving traditional Filipino fare. Food writers like Pete Wells of the New York Times have raved about Bilao. But Canella wonders, what happens when the Pete Wellses of the world stop raving?
We're good for us at the moment, but how about next week? How about next month? There's always that feeling that, how are we going to survive?
Rene Alexander Orquiza Jr. is a historian who has extensively researched and written about Filipino food. He says people are still waiting for stability.
You see reviews from Filipino restaurants in New York going back to like the 1980s. And it's been, what, 40 years now? So it's been like the new next thing for the last 40 years, right?
For Filipinos in New York who see the visibility of their food as a long-delayed recognition of who they are, it's a blow to the ego.
There is not one culture that doesn't hold food in such high regard, whether it's about family time, culture. But there's something very specific about Filipino food and Filipino culture and Filipino identity.
That's Panseca. Her restaurant Jeepney ended its run last year in one of the most stylish neighborhoods in the city after being credited with popularizing kamayan, eating food with your hands off a banana leaf. Making kamayan trendy was a small justice here. Panseca's childhood friends made fun of how her dad ate.
When my American friends came, they would ask, why is he eating with his hands? I felt embarrassed. I felt some shame.
Glamorizing Filipino food was her way of changing that. Panseca says she had the same expectation of her staff as any upscale French restaurant. Say the names of the dishes correctly.
My staff had to know how to pronounce it. I needed to know how to pronounce it. Because who's going to call you out is a tita. Tita is going to call you out.
Not much remains today of pre-colonial Filipino culture before the Spanish arrived in 1521. But many dishes have survived. There's kare-kare, a peanut-based stew with oxtail, Filipino adobo, different from the adobo of Latin American cultures and traditionally made with coconut vinegar, and kinilaw, like ceviche. Here's food historian Rene Orquiza again.
There's some Filipinos that will argue that ceviche is actually derived from kinilaw because of the Spanish galleon trade. When Filipino merchantmen, seamen, were traveling across the Pacific in the Spanish galleons, and they brought their culinary preparations of fish to Mexico.
Restaurant owners say selling Filipino food to the uninitiated can be a struggle. Jude Canella says it was hard in the beginning to get Upper East Siders through Bilao's doors.
in this neighborhood, it was so hard to penetrate. They don't know what Filipino... Well, I mean, they do, but they don't know anything that much till they taste it. Most people wants to be sure if it really tastes good. Will it really benefit my tongue?
And spreading the Filipino food gospel has its own complications.
You get into the regionality of the Philippines, you know, like a country of 7,000 plus islands, where like regional and provincial identity is so fierce that even agreeing on like one version of adobo is like more complicated than agreeing on one version of barbecue in the United States.
Then there's the divide on how to make a name for Filipino food in the United States. Fusion restaurants have popped up over the last several years, breaking new ground in Manhattan and Brooklyn, some with shelf lives as short as a few months. Chef Neil Syham opened Lumpia Shack as a stall in Smorgasburg in 2011. It evolved into a brick-and-mortar store in the West Village in 2014, then moved to a Crown Heights food hall where it operated until it closed in 2018. He says he intentionally courted diners unfamiliar with Filipino food, hoping to take the cuisine to the next level.
I had customers, specifically Filipino customers, come to my restaurant. They always would say, "Why would I buy your food when my Lola cooks it better?" And that's the whole point of it. I want our grandmothers, our mothers, our dads, our Lolas to cook our food better than we did, but I'm trying to give you something a little different.
Still, in one way, Syham reflects the traditional restaurant owner. He wants an abundance of Filipino food. And even though it's hard to agree on what Filipino food is,
Filipino food is like an authentic food from the Philippines, like pampanga.
I like to tell people Filipino food is food that comes from the heart.
Especially made by our parents, by our grandmothers.
To Filipinos, it's a range of flavors, dishes, and ingredients that we call home.
It's a way to feel connected from Queens or anywhere else in the five boroughs, thousands of miles away. For WNYC News, I'm Michelle Bocanegra.